If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in two places this morning, mainly in the book of Mark chapter 14, and John chapter 12. So you want to have John chapter 12 available also. Mark chapter 14 and John chapter 12. While you were finding those, I'll tell you a funny story. I was waking up this morning from a dream, and I was up here ready to teach this morning, and all that was in front of me was this manila folder, and I was flipping through it, and my notes weren't there. And then all of a sudden, a white binder showed up, and I was looking through that white binder, and my notes weren't there, I said. And I can vividly see this in my dream. Oh, yeah, Ron, you left your binder at home. You don't have your notes with you. Now what are you going to do? I don't have any idea why I'm telling you this, other than just to stall while you look up these two scriptures. But it was a weird dream this morning. So when I got up this morning, I made sure that I put my binder by my car keys so I didn't forget it. So anyways, for what that's worth. Mark chapter 14, we're going to be in verses 1 through 9. Listen as I read. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me, for you will have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good, but me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come before him to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. We're looking at a sad part of the chapter of Mark this morning. The verses display the hatred of men and the ugliness that we see this morning. According to verses number 1 and 2, these religious Jews that were there with Jesus, they're fed up with his teaching. They don't want to put up with it anymore. They're done. They want him dead. They don't care what they have to do to see that happen. Verse number 1 in the King James Version said they want to take him by craft. Well, that means trickery. They're trying to devise this plot to trap Jesus so they can have him executed. Why are they so angry? What's up? They're angry because Jesus has exposed their hypocrisy. They've had it with him. You see, these people, they've claimed to be spiritual, godly men. And Jesus has proved them to be nothing more than a bunch of religious phonies. Jesus has made a fool out of them in front of all the common people that were there. Also, they're angry because Jesus is hurting their business. He's hurting their business. You see, these religious leaders controlled the commerce in the temple. They approved who sold the sheep and the birds and other items that were there for buying through the different booths, the different vendor booths. They charged the fee to the vendors to sell there. The money changers set up their booths there. You see, they were collecting a percentage of all the sales that were made there in the temple. And when Jesus threw the sellers out, what happened? Well, they lost their profits. They lost their money. So they're determined in their hearts that Jesus had to go. But you see, while this passage reveals human nature at its worst, well, you see, there's also a picture here of human nature at its best. Oh, you see, Jesus contrasts the hatred of his enemies against this unconditional love of one of his most precious followers. I want you to look at these verses this morning because they paint a picture of extravagant love. The kind of love that every redeemed heart should have for Jesus. I want you to see this extravagant love on display this morning. I want us to see this type of love that's in action so we might be motivated to express that same kind of unconditional, selfless, all-consuming, boundless, extravagant love for Jesus. I've titled this morning's topical teaching, Extravagant Love. We're going to look at three different things this morning on these verses. The demonstration of extravagant love, the discouragement of extravagant love, and then the defense of extravagant love. Look at verse number 3. And in being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, that's Jesus, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. Here we see the setting for this demonstration of extravagant love. You see, these events took place in the little town of Bethany. It was located on the southern slope of the Mount of Olives. It was just a few miles from Jerusalem. Bethany was a favorite location for Jesus. He went there often. He had some very good friends there. Some of his friends were siblings. They were Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He went there often and spent time and enjoyed their hospitality. This is the Lazarus that was dead and brought back to life by Jesus. We see that in John 11. So Bethany was a special place for our Lord. We're also told that this event that we read about occurred in the home of a man named Simon the leper. It would appear that this man had been healed from leprosy by Jesus. And he wants to throw a feast for Jesus to honor him, to thank him for what he's done in his life. So this man's heart, this Simon the leper's heart, is overflowing with his love and gratitude for what Jesus had done for him, and he wants to thank Jesus. And I praise the Lord for those people who are excited about what Jesus has done for them. Amen. You see, Jesus is worthy of our praise, our worship, our love, our adoration. We're told in John's account, and I ask you to turn to John 12, we're told of John's account in this same event that Martha is serving, Lazarus is sitting around a table who Jesus raised from the dead, and here is Mary also. And it's Mary that performs this demonstration of extravagant love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen as I read John 12, 1 through 8. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said not that he cared for the poor, because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for my day of my burial. For the poor you will always have, but me you do not always have always." It's a scene of love. Jesus is surrounded there, for the most part, by people who really care for him and love him. And notice what they're doing. Well, they're having a meal. I think we all enjoy fellowship meals. You know, we used to have fellowship meals here, and then hopefully we'll have them again on a Sunday every now and then, where we'd all sit around tables and fellowship together. It was a wonderful time. And because of COVID, when it hit, we had to stop, and we're going to start them here eventually. But it was just a wonderful time of fellowship. And a lot of fellowship that we see in the Bible with Jesus was experienced during a course of a meal. And it's wonderful, you know, when we gather for worship. When we had worship this morning, it was a wonderful time of worship. When we get together for prayer, for singing, for Bible study. That's that wonderful time, but it's also very special when we get together for a meal for fellowship. Even after the service this morning, when we get together for just a cup of coffee for that time of fellowship, it's that special time when we can just chat with each other. And hopefully we're sharing the needs of each other, that we can pray for each other during the week. Is that such a special thing to do? I encourage you to be a part of that, to be a part of that fellowship. So we see the setting for the demonstration. Now we see the sacrifice of this demonstration. We have this picture, and I want you to picture this. Jesus sits there at a meal, sitting at the table with his friends around him, Lazarus right there. Martha's serving, we see this, and Mary enters the room. And she has this alabaster box filled with this oil of spikenard. We're told that the ointment was very precious. She breaks the box and she pours the content on the head of Jesus. John tells us that she also anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. An extravagant demonstration of love. That box is actually a flask. It was a flask that was filled with this spikenard or nard. It was a red-tinted oil that came from a plant from India. It was very expensive. It was used in the embalming process. It was so expensive that most only the wealthy people could even afford it. And we're told in verse number 5 that it was worth about 300 denarii. In today's economy, probably around $20,000. It was a lot of money and a lot of expense. So we see this picture that Mary enters the room, and what happens? She breaks the neck of this flask, and she pours some of it on the Lord's head. And then the rest she pours on his feet. Then she falls down before Jesus and washes Jesus' feet with her hair. John said that when she did this, the house was filled with the odor of this ointment. So we see the sacrifice of this demonstration. But now we look at the statement of this demonstration. Why did Mary do this? Was she trying to impress the people around her? Was she trying to impress all these folks that were there for this fellowship time? Is that what she was doing? I don't think so. Was she trying to really show how much she loved Jesus? I don't really think so either. I think this extravagant love was for the benefit of Jesus alone. It was totally for the benefit of Jesus alone. When she came that day, she broke the flask. She anointed the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. She was making a clear statement. In fact, she was making several statements. Number one, she was making a statement about her commitment to Jesus. When she broke that flask, you see, there was no going back. When the flask were broken, that was it. She had to do something with the contents of that flask. You see, that entire vessel would have to be emptied. It would have to be totally used. Her commitment to Jesus was unconditional and complete. She was also making a statement about Jesus' value to her. You know, she had probably saved for her whole life to buy this precious ointment. She was probably saving it for her own burial sometime down in the future. But when she broke that flask, you see, and she poured out the contents, she was telling Jesus, "You mean more to me than anything in my life. You mean everything to me, more than anything in this world, Jesus, because I'm giving you everything that I have." But she was also making a statement about her value to herself. You see, by this act, Mary was demonstrating that Jesus meant more to her than her own reputation. She sacrificed her pride in order to serve him. She was saying, "I love you so much that I don't care what anyone thinks about my expression of this extravagant love to you, Jesus." There's a couple things that she did to prove that. Number one, at that time, only prostitutes would have their hair done in public. You see, she let her hair down at that moment. She didn't care what anybody thought about her. She merely wanted to express her extravagant love for Jesus. And second, only servants wash the feet of those who came into the house. You see, when you were walking on those dusty roads over there, your feet would become dirty. And so when you got to somebody's house, they would offer you some water to wash your feet. If you had servants, the servants would come out and wash your feet for you. Mary took the place of that servant before the Lord. She humbled herself before Jesus. And she served him. Why? Because she loved him so much. Think about this. She was also making a statement about the value of her possessions. To Mary, nothing was more important in her world, nothing was more valuable to her than Jesus. She loved him with this extravagant love that she showed. Everything that she possessed was his anyways, and she gave it back. She loved the Lord more than she loved her things. You see, it was common in those days when you came to somebody's house, an honored guest, that you would put just a little drop of ointment on their head. That was very common back then. But you see, Mary broke the flask. She poured it all out, every drop on Jesus, because she loved him so much. She was making a complete statement about Jesus' worthiness to be worshiped and served. Why did she do it? Well, I believe she was thankful. She was thankful because Jesus was her Redeemer, and she knew that. She was probably also thankful because Jesus had raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. She was so overwhelmed with love that she willingly gave up all that she had in one selfless, extravagant act of worship. And I believe that Mary knew that Jesus was going to the cross soon also. She believed a truth that I believe that the disciples back then couldn't even really grasp and hold on to. If we read, the disciples just didn't understand. But I believe Mary did. I believe she knew that maybe this was going to be the last time that she had a chance to honor and worship her Jesus. She wanted to make that opportunity count. And that's what she did. Let me ask you a question this morning. When was the last time you offered the Lord an offering? And I'm not talking monetarily only. I'm talking about everything. When's the last time you offered the Lord an offering of extravagant love? When was the last time you broke the bank worshiping him? When was the last time you gave him worship and honor and praise? When was the last time you selfishly served him? How long has it been since you placed everything you have, everything you own, everything that you love, everything that you care about on that altar of sacrifice before Jesus? Are you totally committed to Jesus and that extravagant love and worship this morning? You see, that's the will for our lives through Jesus. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Is Jesus more valuable than the things you possess in life? Are you willing to give it all up for him so that you can express extravagant love for him? Is he worth more than your pride? Let me ask you that. Have you reached a place in your walk with him that you don't really care what others think about you anymore? Are you willing to suffer that shame even if it brings glory to him? You know, most of you know that my wife and I, we go to the Fort Myers area quite regularly now. And we've met a group of people over there, and their ministry is called Fishers of Men. We've gotten to know them and to love on them. They're just great people. They have a wonderful ministry where they go to the parking lot of a large department store over there. And they set up on Thursday nights, and they set up this keyboard, a portable keyboard, and they start doing worship right in the parking lot. You're probably thinking, that's crazy. Who would do that? Well, they do it. They set up this keyboard. And as people walk by, they worship. And they tell people, hey, if you want prayer, come on over. And you know, while we've been there a couple times with them, and you can watch people go by, and there's a certain amount of people that kind of laugh at you, kind of sneer at you. Wow, you're a bunch of weirdos over there. But then there's those that come over and they want prayer. We had a lady a couple Thursday nights ago that had just had knee surgery. Wonderful Christian lady. We prayed for her. She sang worship songs with us. We had a couple come over that were expecting a baby in December. They wanted prayer for them and their unborn child. What a cool, cool ministry. But you see, you have to be willing to don't care what other people think about you. You see, the lost world needs to witness our expressions of extravagant love for Jesus. There was a fellow who called his girlfriend one day and said, hey, darling, I love you so much. I would climb the highest mountain for you. I would swim the deepest river for you. I would fight a jungle full of lions for you. And if it doesn't rain tonight, I'll come see you. We love him when loving him doesn't get in the way of doing what we need to do. Where he wants us to go and what he wants us to accomplish in life. Do we love him with that reckless abandon? Do we love him with that extravagant love? You see, I can't speak for you all today, but I can tell you that as I've studied this scripture, and this is a scripture that we all have probably read dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Oh, that's a cute story. Okay, so Mary pours the oil. Okay, that's nice. But as I've studied this passage, it's been very convicting for me. I want to express that love, that extravagant love. I want to love him so much that he has control of me and my possessions. I want to love him without that shame, without that fear, without that foolish pride that we have getting in the way. I want to love him like Mary loved him, that we see. Number one, the demonstration of extravagant love. Back to Mark chapter 14, verses 4 and 5, the discouragement of extravagant love. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they criticized her sharply. Mary's demonstration of extravagant love is wonderful to learn about. And it would have been nice if verses number 4 and 5 were not had to been included, because, you see, they kind of bring us down. It's so negative. But the truth we need to look at is taught in those two verses. You see, not everyone thinks the Lord is worthy of such lofty praise. You see, there was an attack. The Bible tells us that there were those standing who were moved with indignation. What does that word mean? Well, it means to be very, very displeased. They were not happy with Mary and what she had done for Jesus. And they went as far as to say that it was an act of selfish worship and it was nothing more than a waste. There was a waste where something was utterly destroyed. It was ruined. It had perished. They looked at the ointment on his head, and they looked at the anointment on this ground around his feet, and they said, what a waste. The ointment is ruined. It's now good for nothing. The attack. There was also an accounting. One of the disciples, according to John 12, says that, and it was Judas Iscariot, calculated that this ointment would have been worth about 300 denarii, or, as I said earlier, about $20,000. That was Judas Iscariot. He was counting, hey, that's what this stuff was worth. And then there was an accusation from Judas. And also the rest declared that the ointment should have been sold. And they could have taken the money and given it to the poor, and it sounds good and it sounds spiritual. However, John 12 says this. Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, speaking about Judas Iscariot, but because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was put into it. So here we have a woman, Mary, who loves Jesus with all her heart. She loves her with her life and with her wealth and her possessions. She sacrificed her pride, her precious ointment, because she wanted to worship and honor the Lord. She worshiped him publicly and openly and sacrificially. She gave away all that she had to worship him. Her worship was expensive, and it was extravagant. Yet her love is misunderstood, and it's misinterpreted by who? By Jesus' disciples, of all people. We see that. They ridiculed her and tried to make her feel bad. But she loved Jesus, you see, more than life, and she was willing to give him all that she had in response. The disciples were upset because they didn't think Jesus was worthy of this. And we see that at work today. We see that in the world today. People give themselves all kinds, they give themselves to all kinds of pursuit in life. They give themselves to money and people, call them success. Some give themselves to sports. We see sports athletes, and they become stars, and people call them heroes. Some give themselves to politics, and they're given to great civic leaders. Some give themselves to academics, and people talk about how wonderful and how good they are because they're so intellectual. And let me tell you, none of that's wrong. I'm not saying that it is. I'm not saying that it is at all, but after reading this and studying this scripture, I have come to the conclusion that no matter what I do or what you do in life, if we don't do it for the glory of God and honor the Lord, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time and money and energy. There was a poet who said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So I don't care how much money you make, how much education you have. I don't even care how much you do for other people around you. If you don't do it for the glory of God, it means nothing. It's a waste. You see, that's what Jesus said in Mark 8, 36. It says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Judas was upset. He was really bothered because he wasn't getting anything out of what was being done. He felt left out. So he lashed out at Mary. If everything for us is in the terms of dollars and cents, we're going to miss out on what the Lord is doing in this world. He wants us as individuals and churches to love him extravagantly. And I guarantee that if you give Jesus an extravagant amount of love, that you're going to be criticized by people. People are going to say, why do you go to church so often? Why do you tithe to the church? Why do you do this? It's because of our extravagant love towards him. What was Mary's response to this criticism, to this discouragement? What was her response? Well, as far as we know, she didn't make one. She kept quiet. She loved Jesus. She gave him that extravagant worship, and she didn't care about the consequences that came down upon her. She didn't care. She just kept loving him, kept giving glory to him, kept praising him, kept on displaying the extravagant love that she wanted to give him. Back to Mark 14 in verses 6 through 9, the defense of extravagant love. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has always done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whatever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Jesus knows what his disciples are thinking and saying. He knows what they're saying. He comes to Mary's defense right there. As Jesus deals with Mary, he makes several statements that affirm the truth that he has willingly received the gift of extravagant love. The statements make it clear that Jesus saw her sacrifice as a gift of extravagant love that he gave her. Look at these statements. Mark 14:6, but Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. I think it's clear from this statement that the Lord's heart was grieved by the attitude of those around him. His heart was grieved. Mary had given him her best. She gave him her best, and they're attacking her. Why? For simply loving Jesus. They looked at her gift. They called it a waste. Jesus looked at what she did, at what she had done, and called it good, called it beautiful. Jesus, the disciples said it was a waste. Jesus said it's beautiful. The Bible is clear that God's people, us, are supposed to be engaged in good works. We see that in Ephesians 2, James 2, 1 Peter 2. Do you know how to take a common act and elevate it to an act of spiritual worship that is solely for the Lord? Just do it for the Lord. When you do even the smallest things for him, it becomes that act of extravagant love and worship. You know, every Sunday and Wednesday night, there's a whole group of people that come early. A group of guys that came in early this morning to set up everything here. A group of guys that are upstairs right now operating the equipment to put this on air. There's a group of ladies that come early that are in the fellowship hall making coffee, setting up cookies, getting the hall ready. That's a beautiful act of extravagant love towards Jesus. They do it because they love Jesus. I'm so blessed to be able to oversee that. What a blessing that is for me, to be able to be a part of that ministry, watching those people serve Jesus because they love Jesus. It's an act of extravagant love. Mark 14:7 says, for you will have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, do not have always. So Jesus is saying that, Jesus is not saying that we shouldn't help the poor. We should. We should help them and do our best to meet the needs. But Jesus is simply saying that Mary seized the moment that was with her right then. She seized the moment to do what she could to show her love for Jesus. She took advantage of that opportunity. Do we take advantage of those opportunities that the Lord gives us? Do we take that opportunity to show a love to a neighbor, to a friend, a coworker, to take time to pray with them, to invite them to church, to share a verse with them, to share the gospel with them? Do we take that opportunity when we have that opportunity like Mary had? Mary had the opportunity to pour the oil on Jesus and to anoint him and to show her love. Do we take that opportunity when Jesus gives us that opportunity? Don't waste that moment. I know for myself, I've often wasted the moment because I know that after I've walked away from somebody, I should have said something. Oh, I should have at least said, let me pray for you. Mary took the opportunity. Mark 14:8, It says, she has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. You see, there was a lot that Mary couldn't do. She couldn't prepare a meal for him right then. She couldn't make a garment. She couldn't go to Calvary. But you see, there was one thing that she could do. She could show her love for Jesus by doing what she did with anointing him and giving everything that she had for Jesus. We can't do everything. None of us can do everything. We're all blessed with different talents. There's people here that have the talent to run computer stuff that I wouldn't have the faintest idea of what to do. There's people here that have the talent of setting up the fellowship hall. I would make a mess out of it. Ask my wife. She will confirm that. There are those that are here that pray. We have a group of ladies that pray every Sunday morning from 9:45 to 10 for this service, for our church. There's a group that are praying right now throughout this sanctuary for you during this time. You see, we can all do something. We can't do everything, but we can help who we can help. And we can listen to the Lord as he gives us those opportunities. We can take those opportunities. He simply wants us to love him, to trust him, and to believe in him. Matthew 6 says he wants us to trust him with our needs. Hebrews 13, he wants us to trust him with our service to him. He wants us to take him at his word and trust him to do what is right. Finally, Mark 14, 9, assuredly I say to you, whenever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. That's an amazing statement. You know, that's an amazing statement. The disciples looked at what Mary had done and they cried waste. Jesus looked and he said, it's beautiful. Jesus said that this gift of extravagant love would be retold everywhere in the gospel for years and years and years and years. And it's still being retold. We're still looking at it this morning. That gift of extravagant love. God is teaching us, I believe, this morning that everything that represents true service to him will never be forgotten. Mary did what she could, and she was rewarded accordingly. Have you done what you could? Are you doing what you can? Are you giving Jesus the demonstrations of extravagant worship? Maybe he's spoken to you about this morning. I know he spoke to me as I've been studying this. I want to give him the glory and the worship and the praise that's due to him. You know, when I think about all that he's done for me, dying on the cross to save my soul, to take the sins that I've committed on him. Jesus in the garden openly prayed to God the Father and said, if there's any other way to take this cup. But there wasn't. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary with the cup of wrath poured upon him. And why did he do that? Was it the nails that held him on the cross? No. It was his love for you and I that held him on the cross. Oh, he could have called 10,000 angels to come and rescue him, but he didn't. He died on that cross to save you and I because he loves us so much. Is there room and improvement for you in your life today? Are there areas that you can give more extravagant love to Jesus? Is there more you can do? Is there other ways that you can serve him? Other ways that you can show him that love? my prayer today would be that as you leave today and as you go through next week, that in your devotional time, in that quiet time, that you'll pray about that. That you'll see what God wants you to do, where he wants you to sacrifice and serve him.